Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Rita Kumara's Meeting with the Kumaras. Text number 57. Did Prabhav do two verses yesterday? Because on the YouTube it was showing 55. So I was reading 56. So he must have covered two verses. Alright. That's okay. Thanks for Durdharshas
Tejas Vagneer
Mahendra
Iva
Jayaha Dudhadras Tejas Vagneer
Mahendra
Iva Durjayaha Tidikshaya Hari Triva,
Deva
Vishta, Pitakshaya, Hari Triva,
Pitakshaya,
Hari Triva, Durdharshaste Jasvagnir Mahendra Iva Durjayaha Dikshaya Dharitriva Yor Iva Vishta Droniram Durdharshaste Jasvagnir Mahendra Iva Durjayaha Unconquerable, Tejasa, by prowess, Iva, like, Agnihi, fire, Mahaindraha, the king of heaven, Iva, Lichen, Durjayaha, insuperable, Tidikshaya, by tolerance, Dharitri, the earth, Iva, like, Dhyaho, the heavenly planets, Iva, like, Abhishta Daha, fulfilling desires, Nirnam, of human society. So, since I was reading text 56, I'm going to read that. So, I'll start with 56. 56 translation. Maharaj Prithu became as celebrated a king as Somaraj, the king of the moon. He was also powerful and exacting, just like the sun god, who distributes heat and light, and at the same time exacts all the planetary waters. Purport. In this verse, Maharaj Prithu is compared to the kings of the moon and sun. The king of the moon and the king of the sun serve as examples of how the Lord desires the universe to be ruled. The sun distributes heat and light and at the same time exacts water from all planets. The moon is very pleasing at night, and when one becomes fatigued after a day's labor in the sun, he can enjoy the moonshine. Like the sun god, Prithu Maharaj distributed his heat and light to give protection to his kingdom. For without heat and light, no one can exist. Similarly, Prithu Maharaj exacted taxes and gave such strong orders to the citizens and government that no one had the power to disobey him. On the other hand, he pleased everyone just like the moonshine. Both the sun and the moon have particular influences by which they maintain order in the universe. And modern scientists and philosophers should become familiar with the Supreme Lord's perfect plan for universal maintenance. Text 57. Maharaj Prithu was so strong and powerful that no one could disobey his orders any more than one could conquer fire itself. He was so strong that he was compared to Indra, the king of heaven, whose power is insuperable. On the other hand, Maharaj Prithu was also as tolerant as the earth, and in fulfilling various desires of human society, he was like heaven himself. Purport: it is the duty of a king to give protection to the citizens and to fulfill their desires. At the same time, citizens must obey the laws of the state. Maharaj Prithu maintained all the standards of good government, and he was so invincible that no one could disobey his orders any more than a person could stop heat and light emanating from a fire. He was so strong and powerful that he was compared to the king of heaven, Indra. In this age, modern scientists have been experimenting with nuclear weapons, and in the former age they used to release Brahmastras. But all these Brahmastras and nuclear weapons are insignificant compared to the thunderbolt of the king of heaven. When Indra releases a thunderbolt, even the biggest hills and mountains crack. On the other hand, Maharaj Prithu was as tolerant as the earth itself, and he fulfilled all the desires of his citizens, just like torrents of rain from the sky. Without rainfall, it is not possible to fulfill one's various desires on this planet. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.14, Parjanyad Anasambhava, food grains are produced only because rain falls from the sky, and without grains, no one on the earth can be satisfied. Consequently, an unlimited distribution of mercy is compared to the water falling from the clouds. Maharaj Prithu distributed his mercy incessantly, much like rainfall. In other words, Maharaj Prithu was softer than a rose flower and harder than a thunderbolt. In this way, he ruled over his kingdom.
Namaste, Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Chandra, Nibishay Lakshmina Vri Pashtar Vekarne, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Vri Nityananda, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Vri Nityananda, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So balance is the name of the game. And here we are saying that Maharaj Prithu is a very balanced monarch. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, among men, I am the monarch, right? So monarchy is Krishna's preferred way of governance of the state. And Maharaj Prithu is a very balanced monarch. So to be balanced is the name of the game. So Maharaj Prithu is soft as a rose, compared to be as soft as a rose, but also at the same time as strong as the thunderbolt of Indra. And he's also compared like the moonshine in the previous verse, Maharaj Prithu. The moonshine is very pleasing to see in the evening. And the sun can also be pleasing, but the sun has another feature also. The sun can be very exacting, can take a huge toe, right? So Maharaj Prithu is compared to the sun and the moon, and here to a rose and also a thunderbolt. So for a ruler, it is very important to be balanced, and we'll get to that. So why does society need a ruler? Because people need a leader. They need somebody to follow. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yad yad acharati sreshas tad tad eva dharo janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follows. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So that is the nature. People require a leader. If they could do things themselves, why would they need a leader? If they can, that's why somebody is needed. And Prabhupada in that purport mentions there are three natural leaders in society. Number one is one's parents. Parents are natural leaders, right? So when we, as we were growing up, we have a father and mother, and they were teaching us. And children, they learn very quickly. So many of you are parents here. You know that kids, they pick up very quickly, and they are observing their parents. They're observing their parents' actions, not so much more than the words, they're observing the actions. And what parents do, they naturally they gravitate towards that and they follow. And then the other type of leaders, natural leaders in society are the teachers, right? Prabhupada mentioned the school teacher. So, and then as we grow up, we follow our teachers, right? So what our teachers are doing, the way they're conducting themselves, we tend to follow that. So education plays a very important role. And even in society, there's a lot of debate going on at the moment that we need to improve the caliber of our teachers. We need to pay them properly. We need to have good teachers because they are the future of society. Right? So education plays a big role. That's why there's universities, schools, and they want to attract higher caliber of teachers. So they're saying caliber of teachers is not good enough, we need to bring it up. So teachers play an important role in society. And then Prabhupada mentioned the third one is the head of state or the king. So a king or the head of a state, they are also a natural leader and people follow them. So whatever they do, people follow them. Of course, there are so many other natural leaders also, like for example, the scientists, actors, sportsmen, sportswomen. So in today's day and age, they're also big leaders. And Prabhupada, in his preaching, he wanted to also preach to the leaders, leadership of the world, right? He gave them special attention because Prabhupada understood this principle. Whatever a great action a great man performs, common men follow. So when George Harrison, the Beatles, they took up to Krishna consciousness, Krishna consciousness just took off, right? That was a defining moment in the history of ISKCON. So Prabhupada, he sent Shyam Sundar and other devotees to London. They went to London and their vision was to connect with the Beatles because they knew the Beatles are favorable, and if we can connect with them, then through their music we can reach out to millions of people. And that's indeed what happened. Somehow by Krishna's arrangement they were able to connect, and then the Radha Krishna album came out and it was the top of the charts. And then thousands and thousands of people were chanting Hare Krishna. And so many people became devotees and practicing Krishna consciousness to various degrees. So Prabhupada knew this principle. And the head of the state, people follow them, right? So what Trump is doing, the whole world follows, right? So whatever actions he takes, other countries follow because they are the leaders of the world. And people also follow them. He has protectionist mindset, and the whole world is following that. And so we can see, so people need a leader, and in society we have a few natural leaders. And then Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 4th chapter, 13th verse, Chaturvanya maya shrishtam, guna karma vibhadasha, tasya kartaram apima, vidya kartaram apaya. So Krishna says, I created the four orders of human society are created by me, but I am above them. So all of us have certain gunas, qualities, and we have karma, guna and karma. So human society is divided in four divisions. Right? This is the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and the Shudra. So there's four divisions of human society. And these divisions are according to one's psychophysical nature. Because we have a certain psychophysical nature, and then according to our nature, we are naturally inclined to certain type of activities. In society, we see there are some people who are the intellectuals, right? The think tanks, the professors, the scientists. Then there are some who are into administration. And then there are some who are into business. And then there are some who are into trade. So society is naturally arranged like that, and people naturally gravitate to their psychophysical nature. And then Krishna says, as I was mentioning earlier, among men I am the monarch. So Krishna's preferred rule, way of governance, is monarchy. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam we see a lot of mention of monarchy. And in the previous chapters we heard about Prithu Maharaj's coronation. So Prithu Maharaj, he was coronated, and today also is a public holiday, right? What's the occasion?
Queen's
birthday. The Majesty, the Queen's birthday, right? It's the Queen's birthday. So we see, in some parts of the world there is still monarchy. And of course, we are living in a constitutional monarchy, and in other words, the queen is a figurehead. It's just a constitutional monarchy. But the power is in the hands of the executive in the legislature. So, but in some parts of the world, there is still monarchy. So, Krishna's preferred way of governance is monarchy. And Prabhupada also said that he preferred, if the temple president was doing a good job, he preferred that they stay for, to continue for as long as they can. Why change it when they're doing a good job? But there's a big why over there, there's a big if, right? If they're doing a good job and if everything is going well, then they can continue. So there's different ways of governance, and monarchy is one of them. But in Kali Yuga, monarchy doesn't work very well because it turns to autocracy quite often, and we see that in the world monarchy has turned to autocracy, and people are not so, the ruler becomes they rule by fear, and they become too controlling, and they're just into controlling people, and when that happens it's not a very good situation. And that's why we see most of the world has rejected monarchy, because it's turned into autocracy, autocratic governments. So in Australia we're lucky, we have democracy, we can speak openly, we can criticize the government openly. In the parliament we see the opposition is criticizing the government openly, and so that's a good thing. that brings a sense of balance. So Krishna's preferred way is monarchy, because in democracy, the people choose the government. And there's one quote by Prabhupada, I'd like to read you. He talks about democracy, the shortcomings of democracy. So Prabhupada says, government means nowadays all rascals. They are elected by rascals, and they are rascals. That is the difficulty. Everywhere you go, you will meet only rascals. And Prabhupada even goes on to say, even in our camp, there are so many rascals. Just see the report. Even they have come to be reformed. They're rascals. So, that's the point. In democracy, because people are not qualified, they don't know what is the ultimate good. So there's shreyas and prayas, right? So there is short-term good and there is long-term good. So because people don't know what is their ultimate good, which is their spiritual development, Krishna consciousness, and people are only thinking about short-term good, which is sense gratification, then they elect leaders who they think will fulfill their immediate needs. So, and today's governance is all around employment, mainly, right? It's all around employment. The government, the election campaign is all based on jobs, job creation. And then a little bit about climate change and health, and of course all those things are important. But the main duty of a king, and as Prabhupada also explains in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the first verse, the purport, the duty of a king is to free the citizens of lust. That's the duty of a king. That's the main job. So it's to free people from karma. Lust for material desires, and to transform their desires into desires to serve Krishna. That is the main duty of a ruler. And in contrast, today we have the head of state is elected to fuel the desires of the citizens. If they are unable to fuel the desires or satisfy them, then they are kicked out. They are voted out, and a new government is put in place. And then the people, they're hoping this government will fulfill our needs. But it's impossible to fulfill the needs of people, because material desires are impossible to fulfill. So, and then people are disappointed, and the cycle just goes on and on. But in the days of yore, we see exemplary leadership. So Maharaj Parikshit, Prithu Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Lord Ram, right? And so the king has a very important place, because they create an environment where Krishna consciousness flourishes. So their job is to create an environment. So they attract the Brahmanas, they attract the Vaishyas, they attract the Shudras, and they create harmony among society, and so people can advance in Krishna consciousness. That's their role. And because they attract the Brahmanas, then it is easier for people to become Krishna conscious. Just like modern government, they create a favorable environment so businesses are attracted to invest in that place. Does any business invest in Afghanistan? No, because there's a lot of instability. So when there is political stability, that attracts the Vaishyas, the businessmen come. And then it attracts the education comes as well. So everything falls in place when there is political stability. So the Kshatriyas, they, by their political stability, they attract the Brahmanas. So when the Brahmanas come, that leads to spiritual education in the form of temples. So in the form of temples, the role of a temple is to provide spiritual education, just like this temple is providing spiritual education. That's the main duty of ISKCON, is to provide education, spiritual education. So they attract the Brahmanas, that leads to education in society, and then that leads to a good balance. So currently we see the Vaishyas are more or less running the government, or if not directly, but they're controlling it. Right, businesses are controlling the government. They're able to lobby very powerfully. So the role of a king is to free society from lust and also to provide protection. So Kshatriya means to provide protection. And we say Maharaj Parikshit, when he was touring his kingdom, he came across a bull and a cow being beaten, and the bull and the cow were standing on one leg. The three legs were chopped off, standing on one leg, urinating out of fear and trembling. So when Maharaj Parikshit saw that, he immediately drew his sword and he was about to kill Kali. So the role of a king is to provide protection from fear. So and even when Vena was, when King Anga left his body, Vena was put in charge. So Vena was a very cruel king. But the Brahmanas, they knew if there is no king, then there will be a lot of crime in the state. And the dacoits and the rogues will roam freely. So the king needs to be strong. And that's why here it's mentioned Prithu Maharaj is like a thunderbolt. So the King Vena was like, he was very strong. Though he was very cruel, he was not Krishna conscious. But they had to make a compromise. They had to, you know, it was a bad situation, so they had to make a compromise. And till they found somebody else, they had to put him in charge. So the Brahmanas, they put Vena, and when Vena was there, the dacoits and the thieves and the rogues, they were subdued. So that's the king has to be strong. So the governance has to be very, very strong. And Parikshit Maharaj, similarly, when he saw the bull and the cow being beaten mercilessly, he was very strong. And in contrast, today law and order is a bit out of control. Australia is much better than other countries. But still, it's a problem. The police resources are stretched. The law is not strong enough. And they're not... People who commit serious crime, they're not... They're let loose after some time. So I see you listening. So they are let loose. So law and order is not as strong. And criminals are encouraged because they know that I can get away with murder or, you know, committing serious offences. I can get away with it. And then people are living under fear. But in the days of yore, the Kshatriyas were very strong. But at the same time, they were also approachable. And they were soft as well. So here it's mentioned that Prithu Maharaj was as soft as a rose and as pleasing as moonshine. So Lord Ram took the role of a Kshatriya. Lord Ram was the prince regent, and when Dasharath Maharaj, and Dasharath Maharaj was also very liked by his citizens, and he was at the same time feared by people who needed to fear him. So the king is like the police. If you follow the law and order, then you don't fear the cops, right? You don't fear the government. But if you don't follow, then there's something to worry about. So Dasharatha Maharaj, he was very well liked by the entire citizenry, and when he was getting old, he wanted to find a replacement, and he felt Ram was most suitable, and he was suggested by his counselors. And as we know, the pastime, Kaikeyi, she was instigated by a mantra. So Kaikeyi, she in fact wanted Lord Ram to be the king. She liked Lord Ram because Lord Ram is dharma personified. But mantra, she was insecure, and she thought, okay, if Lord Ram becomes the king, then her mother is Kaushalya, and then she won't be the chief maid servant. But if Bharat becomes the king, then Bharat is her son, right? And then she'll be the chief maid servant. So she went into Kaikeyi's ear, and it took Kaikeyi quite a bit of convincing to change her mind. Kaikeyi was set on Lord Ram becoming the king. So it took a bit of convincing, and then Kaikeyi changed her mind. And as we know, the past time, Lord Ram was about to be coronated. The Dasharath, he understood there's some bad omens around, and the Brahmanas also told him. And they told him, okay, you should coronate Ram the next morning. So coronation is a very big ceremony. Even the coronation of Queen Elizabeth was very big when it happened 90 years ago. She's still the queen. It was you can watch it on YouTube. There's massive coronation. So there was a big coronation planned for Lord Ram in the morning. And so Lord Ram was summoned by Dasharath. At night, he heard, at night Kaikeyi told him, you gave me a boon, so now I'm going to take that boon. You gave me two boons, so I'm going to take those two boons. And number one is, number one boon is Bharat will be the king, and number two, you will go in the forest for 14 years. You have to be exiled for 14 years. Lord Ram has to be exiled for 14 years. And then Dasharath was, he couldn't believe it, and he was in so much lamentation. The pastime was amazing. He really tried to convince her, but it was not possible to change Kaikeyi's mind. And then, back then, people would be true to their word. So Dasharath, true to his word, he summoned Lord Ram in the morning, and Lord Ram thought, okay, this is a bit unusual. Then he went there. Sita was left outside the inner chambers, and then the news was broken to Ram, and he immediately accepted the king's wish. And when Lord Ram, he was leaving for the forest, the point I'm making is that the king is soft as a rose, and people are not fearful. So when this news broke out, the entire state was plunged in lamentation. We don't see that today. When the government changes, the people are rejoicing, whether it's here or somewhere. It's a certain section of society, they are rejoicing. But when Lord Ram, he was asked to be exiled, the entire state was plunged in lamentation. The shops closed down. It was like a ghost town. Ayodhya became like a ghost town. And people were crying, and yagyas stopped. You know, yagyas were going on. Back then, yagyas happened all the time. Yagyas stopped. It's mentioned that the deities in the temple, the worship stopped. And they were not dressed. So they, the temple worship stopped, yagya stopped, business stopped, and people were lamentation as if somebody of their own died. That was the condition of the state, Ayodhya. And when Bharat was asked to come by, I think Vishwamitra, one of the sages, to ask to come and become the ruler. And then he was also shocked to see the condition of the state. And when Lord Ram went to the forest, so many citizens, they followed him. The entire pastime is amazing. How Lord Ram's chariot went slowly and the entire citizenry was following, all the people were following him to the edge of the forest. And still a lot of people, they went with him. And then Lord Ram had to beg them to go back. So we can see that when a king is light, then people really like the king, and the king is also approachable and very soft, right? So Lord Ram was very soft. If people were afraid of him, why would they approach him? They would be fearful of approaching him. So they were able to approach him. And people expected a lot out of the kings. And any problems which happened in society, the king was responsible. So we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the standard of leadership was so high that the king was responsible for the weather. Even responsible for the weather, right? The rivers are flowing here, in this section. When Krishna Maharaj was the king, the rivers were flowing nicely. The earth was producing sufficient food. The clouds were pouring rain on time and at night. So we can say that that's why leadership is so important. That they are even able to change the weather. The weather is favorable. So in contrast, today Australia is going through a drought, and the government's policies, they are trying to adjust to the drought. How we can be more, how we can use water effectively. Basically, that's what they're saying. But they don't realize that their own policies are causing the drought due to large-scale slaughter of animals and a lack of Krishna consciousness are causing those problems. Because people are not Krishna conscious, and there's millions and hundreds of millions of animals are slaughtered. That is leading to all these problems. But due to a lack of knowledge and understanding, they are thinking the solution is to come up with better technological advances and how to use water better, and which is also important. Those things are important, but that's not the real solution to the problem. But with Maharaj Parikshit's time, Yudhishthir Maharaj's time, Prithu Maharaj's time, the weather was all fine, and the kings were held liable for it. So for example, when in Dwarka, Arjuna, he was approached by a Brahmana. So this Brahmana, when his wife would give birth to a child, that child would just die straight away for some unknown reason. So it happened a number of times, and the Brahmana was frustrated, and he went to Arjuna's palace. He could go directly to the king. That tells you there were not a lot of problems. He could approach the king directly. So the Brahmana approached Arjuna and he said, when my wife gives birth, the child just dies and vanishes. It just vanishes. So what's going on? This is your fault. And Arjuna accepted it. He said, how is this possible? This is happening in my under my rule. So we can see that the kings, they took personal ownership of such when there were disturbances in society. And then he took remedial actions, right? So Arjuna, he said, okay, now when your wife gives birth again, he fired arrows and just covered the area and still it disappeared. You know, that was the pastime Mahavishnu. He stole the child so he can have darshan of Krishna. That's a leela, but that makes a point that the Kshatriyas, they were responsible for so many things. They didn't shrug off the responsibility. And because they were doing their job so nicely, they could exact taxes. So, yes, taxes are required. All the facilities we see, the roads, the schools, the hospitals, this comes by taxes, right? And Srila Prabhupada makes an interesting point about taxes. The king would supply everything for their benefit. This is Prabhupada. And because of this, he would levy taxes. If the king of government otherwise levies taxes on the citizens, he becomes responsible for the sinful activities of the citizens. In Kali Yuga, monarchy is abolished because the kings themselves are subjected to the influence of Kali Yuga. Actually, there are no kings or brahmanas in this age, and due to their absence, the whole world is in a chaotic condition and is always in distress. So, yes, taxes can be exacted, but if Krishna consciousness is being provided to people, so otherwise the king gets 1/6 of the sinful reaction of all the citizens. It is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He gets 1/6 of the good results of citizen, and he also gets 1/6 of the bad karma of the citizen. So to take taxes is a big thing. So like we have the Commonwealth has their own agency for enacting taxes, right? And they're very efficient in taking taxes. And we mainly have broadly four taxes in Australia. We have income tax, capital gains tax, GST and payroll tax. So these are the four broad taxes, and then on the federal level we have that. Then on the state level we have various duties, like motor vehicle duty, stamp duty, and then the council, they also take taxes. So we are a very heavily taxed society, and those taxes are important. They provide very valuable services, and generally people don't want to pay taxes. And because they feel the government is not doing enough for them. And people try to avoid to pay taxes. It is important to pay taxes. But here it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that if taxes are taken, then spiritual education needs to be foremost. And these other things are also important. You know, nice roads, hospitals, schools. These things are important. But the most important thing is the Krishna consciousness. And when that is there, people will actually be happy to give some taxes. And also those taxes have to be spent wisely. So all this is on how is this relevant to us? That's the next point. So on an individual level, we just have to try to be sincere devotees. And if we try to be sincere devotees, then we can make some change in the world by our actions and by our example. And then on an organizational level, we can learn a lot from this. This kind of management, there's a lot to learn from this in terms of governance and leadership. So it's easy to point the finger at the world, how things are bad, out there, but we also need to look at our own backyard. We ourselves have significant problems. ISKCON also has significant problems. And there's a lot of good, but there's a lot of problems also. And before we can correct the whole world, we also have to work on ourselves as a movement and then as individuals. Otherwise, the preaching is not effective. So all the principles we talked about are applicable to ISKCON leadership also. Looking devotee care, looking after devotees, making sure the preaching is going on, and temples are not places of just collecting donations or living very comfortably. And temples are not meant for that. Select few people living comfortably. They are meant for propagating Krishna consciousness far and wide. So that's on an organizational level and on a personal level. So when, and Prabhupada's formula was to create brahmanas, right? And Prabhupada gave so many directions for management of this institution, for this society. There's one nice quote I'd like to read to you. That's it. Do not think in this way of big corporations, big credits, centralization. These are all nonsense proposals. Krishna consciousness movement is meant portraying men to be independently thoughtful and competent in all types of departments of knowledge and action, not for making bureaucracy. Once there is bureaucracy, the whole thing will be spoiled. There must be always individual striving and work and responsibility, competitive spirit. Not that one shall dominate and distribute benefits to the others, and they do nothing but beg from you and you provide. No, each center remains independent. GDCs and sannyasis will travel and see the officers are doing this. And if they observe anything lowering of the standard, they must reform and advise. Or if there is some discrepancy, I shall remove it. Do not be anxious to count up so many number of new devotees. If such devotees go away later, being too early forced, I want to see a few sincere devotees, not many false devotees or pretenders. So it's and then Prabhupada, this is very famous quotation, says, our leader shall be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is individual and spontaneous and voluntary. They should always try to generate some atmosphere of fresh challenge to the devotees so that they will agree enthusiastically to rise and meet it. This is the art of management, to draw out spontaneous loving spirit of sacrificing some energy for Krishna. But where are so many expert managers? All of us should become expert managers and preachers. Forget this centralizing and bureaucracy. Letter to Karandhar, Bombay, 22nd December 1972. So, Prabhupada's letters give us some clues. And it's nice now in ISKCON they have ISKCON Leadership Sangha, I think, which meets every couple of years. And they're trying to have some leadership training. So when someone takes a leadership role, they know what they're doing, you know, not just thrown in there and got no idea, or they're not even the right person, and then it's just a mess. So, leave it there. Any comments or questions on this? Yeah.
Thank you very much, Namandir.
Nice to have you back.
Yeah. And as you said, the Prabhupada said, lust must be destroyed first. We have to remove the lust of people. Then only you can become Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
We have got so many material desires that they are never ending. And Lord Krishna is trying to fulfill our desires as much as possible. But we have so many numerous desires that it is almost impossible. That's why we have to come again and again. So as you said, pointed out, Krishna consciousness is the most important thing. And the government, as you said, even Rishabh Maharaj told Suman was his minister, told, when Ram was exiled, then he was told that, please bring him back, because he doesn't know. He is a young boy, he has lived in the palace, so he doesn't know what is forest. So just show him the forest and make sure he comes there. And he was in so much anxiety, you know, and then he died because of that. It was a separation from Lord Ram.
Yeah.
So, one point. Second point you made was very important, like the education. Education is very, very important, especially the teachers have to be very good. I'll give an example personally. I had a professor of surgery in my school in New Delhi, where I was trained. And professor, he was so wonderful. You can approach him anywhere, ask him any question. You can just shrug your shoulder, stop him. He was so, and we could, as students, we could approach him in the house residence. Knock at the door and ask, can we have some coffee? So they were so friendly. And the standard of teaching was so wonderful. I'll give you an example. I can remember so many lectures. You would be in one lecture.
You have good memory probably.
In one lecture he said very important thing was cancer, when it is diagnosed, it's already quite late. Because a lot of the cancer can be tested quite late and there are no symptoms. We have examples in our own SCOM. Like cancer prostate and cancer breast and some other whatnot. I won't go into details. But he said that once it is diagnosed on the basis of histology, if it's a malignant cancer, then for example, let us come to breast. In breast, when the cancer is, you know, the biopsy diagnosis, we take some sample nodes. And if they are positive, and cancer can be managed.
So what's the point you're making?
The point is that lumpectomy is not the answer. What some surgeons are doing, just lumpectomy. They take the lump out, send, and that's the treatment. And then they chemotherapy. And chemotherapy has got so many side effects. You wouldn't believe it. That when patients, they go through chemotherapy. So the point I'm making that they should take out the, for example, breast, they should take out the whole breast and nodes.
Well,
so this is the most important thing. So as we should take second opinion, just don't go by one opinion. That's the main thing.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
So education, and we covered most of the things. I should take note, otherwise I will go.
You've got a strong memory.
So thank you very much for it.
Thank you.
Right. I want to hear some more.
Any other points or questions?
Can you talk about how minority nepotism is not very good? I'm just seeing what King Angada said. I believe we know that King Veda is not eligible, right? But he was still gay. So they had no any other option to choose from. Then why had you know about
Yeah, but they didn't have anybody. Sorry, from what I've read, they couldn't find anybody suitable to be the next monarch, and then they had to make the best use of a bad bargain. So they put him in charge because having a king is better than no king. So, at least they thought, okay, at least he will curb the law and order. He will make sure there's proper law and order. So, and otherwise, people will be living in fear and there will be serious crime going on everywhere. So they put somebody in charge. So, like Duryodhan was not Krishna conscious. But otherwise he was a good ruler. His governance, everything was good, but he was not Krishna conscious. So they had to make the best use of the bad barley. But when he became very offensive, when he started stopping all the sacrifices of the Brahmanas, and he said, "I am God, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of you should worship me," then they killed him. So then the Brahmanas, they took action and they threw him out.
One of the Brahmanas could have taken the opportunity
to be again. Yeah, they decided not to for whatever reason. But there are some instances, they're not coming to my head, but if anyone knows, where a Brahmana took this, a king.
Getting to the point of what this gentleman was saying, there was a point in the Srimad Bhagavatam where the Brahmanas were discussing about appointing King Kritu, King Vena. And then there was an analogy that the citizens were considered to be like ants within a termite hill that was being burned by God hands. The rogues and the thieves were the fire on God hands. So they had to appoint King Vena to stop these rogues and things. They knew that he had the ability to do it. They also knew that he was not in a position to be Krishna conscious.
Mm.
So that was going to be his downfall.
Yes. No. Very, very well explained. Thank you. So they didn't have a choice and they knew he could do it. Right? So he was the only one who could do it. So that's a very important point. They have to be strong. If one is, whether you're somebody, a temple president or a king, it's the same principle applied. Mm-hmm. They have to be strong. Because even like running a temple, it's no joke. You have to be very strong as a leader. Different devotees are going to do different things. Yeah. So, you have to be pretty strong and have some control.
And soft.
And at the same time, approachable and soft. And be able to take counsel from other devotees and take their ideas and, as Prabhupada was saying, not curb their enthusiastic spirit, voluntary spirit, right? So it's a fine act of balance and comes by maturity and practice. So they had no choice. They had to make a tough decision. They put him in charge. And he did his job for some time. And then they threw him out. And as you know, right, the Kumar Shem. So. Yes, Master. Yes, Guru.
Question is,
if Maharaja was such a nice devotee, why did he get such a demoniac son? Good question. It's no guarantee just because somebody is a good devotee, it will all be work out well for them. And even Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu, right? I think how many sons turned out to be Mayavadis? I think it's 5 or 7 or 9, something like that. There is a number where Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and 7 of his sons turned out to be Mayavadis. It's like one of the worst things could happen to you. Because the Mayavadi is considered worse than a Karmi, because they are blaspheming the Supreme God. So the point is, there's no guarantee just because you're a good devotee, number one. You have everything perfect. One should not have that expectation. And number two is, everyone has their free will. Every jiva has their free will to do what they want to do.
Minute
independence, thank you. So they have their minute independence, their free will to do what they want. So there's no guarantee. And sometimes even being in a difficult situation brings one closer to Krishna. So Kunti Maharani, the Pandavas are devotees of Krishna. But they experience one tribulation after the other. So one can say, why is it happening to them? But it brought them closer to Krishna. They were taking more shelter of Krishna. And then Kunti Maharani was praying for tribulation, so it brings her closer to Krishna. And she's thinking of Krishna all the time. So that's, you know, that's a very high caliber of devotee. So the obstacles, they bring one closer to Krishna. Otherwise, sometimes we tend to forget Krishna, and everything is very rosy. Then we get a bit of a kick, you know, from the Lord, and then we take shelter because of our good fortune and Krishna consciousness. Any final points from the ladies? I just want to see if anyone. No? Yes?
Can we see all these relationships, like child and husband and wife, that all the sticks down, run down the river? So sometimes bad sticks come together, sometimes good sticks come together. There are temporary random selections, so there is no law and order as to the good sticks will come together or bad sticks will come together.
Yeah, there's no guarantee.
Yes, yeah. Just random.
That's right, it says in the Shastra that we are like in the ocean. Forms, they come together and they dissipate, and sometimes like debris comes together in the ocean and dissipates. So yes, by our karma and laws of nature, we are put together. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Antarajan Bhagatam Ki.